welcome to episode 11 of Bin Weg Bouldern. My name is Juliane Fritz and I am your show host. In this episode, you will find out more about the man who just got the title overall World Cup winner in bouldering 2018. And I guess you know who it is. It is the Slovenian climber Jernej Kruda. I met Jernej in Munich at the Bouldering World Cup. It was the qualification day, so we did not know yet that Jernej will actually win the title. I am super happy that I met him, and I can tell you one thing. All the positive stuff you heard about Jernej Kruda is true. You know that he is such a happy, smiling, cool guy who celebrates his wins and, in his very own way, also celebrates his fail attempts. If you haven't seen any Bouldering World Cup yet, or haven't seen him compete, I really recommend you to do that. My interview with Jernej, of course, was in English, so I thought I'd do the whole episode in English, and I hope all my German listeners don't mind and will still understand everything we say. So have fun with this episode. I'm very honored to meet Jernej Kruda at the World Cup in Munich. Jernej Kruda, who has just finished the qualies. Hi, Jernej, how are you?
Hello, I'm honored for what you just said, but thank you, I'm having fun.
Cool. You were pretty good in the qualies. I think when we left there, you were second place in the ranking?
Second place, yeah, in my group.
Yeah.
That's right.
How did you like the boulders of the quali?
Oh, I like them a lot.
Yeah.
I think they were a bit hard, but still I enjoyed climbing, and that was my goal, and I'm happy with my performance.
Yeah, you can be. It's cool. How do you feel in this situation before such a comp? How do you prepare like a week before Munich?
I would guess a bit differently than the other competitors. I'm maybe not taking those comps as seriously as the others do.
You don't.
I mean, I do, or I just trying to say I don't, because then I don't put pressure on myself. And I think like more than 10 years of competing gave me enough of experience to know that it's not all about training.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've been doing a lot of hard climbing this year, and my body was kind of tired after the first part of bouldering season, and then the summer came in and it was like super hot for me, and I really don't work pretty well on high temperatures, so
mm-hmm.
I was really trying to find some days off to go to the mountains and
yeah.
get some fresh air and a bit colder temperatures. And yeah, I was happy for these few days that I managed to escape the heat.
I was wondering, when I was watching your Instagram, that yesterday you've been out somewhere climbing. Everyone comes to Munich. There are some World Cup simulations in Munich, so they go there, they train, but you still go outside shortly before the comp.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, like, we are all different. Also, those guys who go to the gym, they're also like different about some things, but yeah, I'm just different with my training program.
Yeah.
And yeah, just as I said, like 10 years of competing gave me enough confidence that I know that I will always handle how to read boulders on the comps. And I rather like do something for my mind, so when I come here, I'm relaxed and just climb, you know, like climb. But I always put all in this like climbing rounds, because, you know, it's only 5 minutes for each boulder. And I think that's more important, to know how to read boulders in 5 minutes than to be the strongest guy in the world, you know.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
This is your secret, maybe, that you just relax on the real rock outside.
Yeah.
And then you come here and give everything.
Maybe it's not a secret anymore, because everybody knows what I'm doing. I don't want to say that this is the best way to be the best.
Yeah.
I think everybody should find their like own way, a way of training. And I think if you want to be the best, you really need to find yourself in what you love and how do you think that you perform the best. And I'm the lucky guy that I can actually climb outdoors, and I still know deep inside that it won't hurt me if I go outside a lot.
Yeah. How do you feel about Munich? So, Munich for me is the very cool place where every year, once in a year, the climbing elite is coming, and I can see the best climbers in the world, and I'm always very excited before Munich. So how do you feel here?
Ooh, I have mixed feelings about Munich.
Okay.
But let's start with the positive thoughts. Like in 2014, I became a world wise champion here in Munich. I think this is more important than the other bad performances I had here. So I think I kept it in a good memory. And I always like to come back because I think the organizers, they put a lot of effort into like good route setting, good holds, good wall, good atmosphere. So it's always nice to come back. But on the other hand, it's I'm always a bit skeptical about the last World Cup because it's really far from the other bouldering comps. And you know, when you're in the mood for the comps, it's nice to be there. But when you cut it with like 2 months of rest or without like any bouldering World Cups, it's a bit hard to get back in the competition mentality. But I think it's the same for everyone. So I just come here and try to enjoy and forget about these things that like I haven't been competing for 2 months on boulders. So
yeah. Is there anything else you like about Munich? So do you do anything else while you're here?
Honestly, not really, but I like it a lot because like I've been competing for many years, and I've seen a lot of countries around the world, and I think nowadays I'm always happy for the competitions that are really close to my home, so I don't bother myself with traveling around. It's just like a few hours drive to get here, so it makes me a bit more relaxed than going on a plane and fly to the other side of the world.
Yeah, I understand. Let's go a little bit back to the first bouldering World Cup in Meiringen that you won, and it was so fascinating to see you, to see your emotions.
You.
I think that's the whole fascination also about you. I guess the other listeners will understand what I say. It's just cool to watch you, and I want to know what has changed for you since you won in Meiringen. Has your climbing changed, your attitude changed, or around you, how the people see you?
Yeah, I think a lot of things changed, you know. Like, I kind of gave up on my dreams, like after competing in the World Cup for 9 years.
Yeah.
So I still really like to compete, but maybe the wish to stand on the top almost faded away already. But yeah, I still like the competitions, and I was happy to go there. And this year I said, okay, maybe I won't put so much effort into training, so I just went outdoors a lot, climbed there, trying on hard routes, which like gave me some, or maybe I didn't really gain some power, but for sure I didn't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept on a good level of climbing and did some hard routes. So when I came for the first World Cup, I was there just with a clear mind, without any expectations. Yeah, and it finally happened actually. And when I saw that, maybe that is the real recipe, like just to be relaxed and just perform with your experience. Like I think the whole thing changed. So I got my first medal on my first World Cup, and I achieved more than I could ever dream about, you know.
Yeah.
So on the next competition, I was just there having fun, and another proof that having a clear mind, it's the most important thing. And another comp, because if I got like maybe my best season was with two finals in 1 year, and this year I'm just like I missed one finals. And if I look back, I still can't believe it, but if I have to choose a reason, it's for sure having a clear mind and be relaxed, and all you have to do is to love what you do.
Well, it's cool that you found the right mindset now, because, well, there could be more next year.
Maybe that's why I had to. Maybe that's why I had to wait for 10 years. And maybe that's a good recipe for other climbers as well, like not to give up too soon. Because I don't consider myself to be old, but for sure in bouldering, I'm pretty sure it's hard to be the best in like first years of World Cups. So give it a time, wait for it, and don't lose hope. And first of all, just love climbing, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, we saw another climber this year who maybe could talk in the same way, Gabriele Moroni. Maybe he would say something similar.
I hope he can talk the same. But as I said, we are all different, and maybe he's a bit shy to go outdoors just before the competitions like I do.
Yeah.
But I know that he's a really passionate climber. He loves climbing a lot. And I know that he's not afraid to go outdoors.
Yeah.
And I know he's not afraid to have a good time, you know. And maybe that's the reason why he also finally won the World Cup. And I'm super happy for him because he's a really good friend of mine. And he deserves it. And maybe we can give like a good proof to the other athletes that this kind of mindset, it's worth it. So even if you fail, at least you have fun. And that's more important. And if you win, you have like double fun. If you don't win, you just have fun. And those who put too much effort in it, they can be sad. And I don't want people to be sad in climbing because it's such a beautiful sport, you know.
It is. Tell me something about how you grew up and how you started climbing. I know you started when you were 7 years old. Can you remember the fascination you had with climbing as a child?
Oh, yeah, I remember a lot. But first thing, I'm super happy I was born in such a nice family. And I'm so grateful for my parents to support me, because I know that not everyone has the same chance to grow up in such a good climber. So yeah, I'm super grateful for my parents, even like when things didn't go well in like other stuff like school or anything, they were always there and keep pushing me forward in climbing, even though they were not climbers. But yeah, I remember like first days, I remember where I grew up, like in a city center of a really small town of Celje, where we had kind of a small park there with some trees, and I really enjoyed climbing there and being on the height all the time. And luckily the community, like the climbing community in Slovenia, it's really evolved there.
Yeah.
So it was easy to get into the club. That's how I started. Of course, we started with some gym climbing because that was the easiest for people to train.
Yeah.
For sure, it wasn't the best place to train, but I had another luck that there were many rocks around my hometown, and soon some of my coaches they took me there, and I fell in love with outdoor climbing. So when I was still young, I thought it's impossible to climb in the winter, and I was always hardly wait for the spring to come in to finally go climbing outdoors. Yeah, now I know that I perform really well on really cold temperatures, so I try to climb outside as much as I can.
Yeah, I see that on Instagram. If it was not your parents, who was the person that took you climbing for the first time?
Actually, there were some coaches. I imagine it was pretty hard for them because I was pretty talented, and they really didn't have much of coaching knowledge. So it was hard for them, but they saw a passion in me. So they really, when I said I want to go outdoors and I want to climb something hard, they were happy to take me there. And I just remember one of my coaches, he was like, I think he was the main reason to stay in climbing, because when I got to the training session and when he was there, he really knew how to motivate us. And maybe it was quite important that we didn't climb too much when I was like super young. Unfortunately, he died in the mountains few years after I started, but I think he gave me enough of knowledge to stay in climbing. But I think it was myself who did the most about my climbing, because I liked it so much that like no matter who was there with me, I was always trying to get them outdoors. And I could say if they were not coaches, they were kind of mentors or just a bit older friends who had cars and everything. And I always motivate them to take me outdoors.
Ah.
So there were like many of them, and I'm still grateful for them because they could see the passion in me and they were super happy to take me there. And maybe that was the other main reason that I stayed in climbing back then.
I see. Do you remember the time when you realized that you could be really good and be a pro athlete and you really started to train for this?
Yeah, you know, in Slovenia it's a bit hard. I still hard to consider myself as a professional climber because of all the sponsorships I have or I don't have, you know. But yeah, at some point I really gave up on everything else and just started climbing.
What does it mean you gave up? It like studying or?
Yeah, it was studying and all the other stuff that I had in my life, you know. And maybe, yeah, studying was the main reason. Like, for so long I was trying to finish school and everything, and but it was hard to combine, at least for me. I know I'm a bit different and I know that some people can manage this pretty easily, but like at some point when I erased all the school problems in my mind, I started climbing really well.
Yeah.
And that's also one of the recipes that I really have a clear mind all the time. And I don't bother with other stuff, and I just climb. And climbing kind of became of my job. And even if it's hard sometimes in climbing, I always think about like, okay, you were suffering in school, so if you suffer in climbing, it's at least suffering in what you like. So it's the thing I can do. So I know people have much like worse jobs than I do, and I'm very grateful for my job, and that's it about it.
Yeah, well, I really like to have some of your mindset. That sounds cool. Amazing. As you climb so much outside, how does it feel for you to climb in front of big audiences versus climbing on rocks where not so many people are watching you?
It's a bit different, but it's still climbing, you know. And anytime you ask me what I prefer, it will always be outdoor climbing.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess.
But I saw myself on the competitions and I know that I like that. So that's the second part of me, you know. It's like I kind of like audience. I like to perform in front of the audience. And that's why I love competitions. And, you know, there are not really many competitions, so I can still go climbing outdoors. And I'm actually kind of happy to break outdoor climbing as well with some competitions. And for example, I really started to like this pressure on the competition, or the pressure that I can handle.
Yeah.
Because if you go outdoor climbing, the route or the boulder or whatever it is, it will always be there. So you don't have to bother yourself. If you don't do it now, you can come back tomorrow, next week, next month, next year.
Yeah.
You don't care about that too much. But on the competition is here and now, you know. So you have those 5 minutes for one boulder. You have to do it. I'm actually very proud of myself that I can finally handle my pressure. Or
yeah,
the pressure that's on me, I can handle it, and that's why I love competing. So I'm there, and sometimes I feel super good, sometimes I feel bad, but you have 5 minutes. And if you feel good, use it. If you feel bad, make the best out of it. That's also one of the recipes that I can give to the others, and that's how I do well. And that's why I love competitions, because I'm there and I remember for all of these moments I was there on the competitions feeling bad or feeling nervous. And if the same feeling comes around again, I'm like, okay, you're nervous, but still do your best, you know. It's like climb the best as you can with your nervousness, you know.
Yeah. What do you do when you're nervous? Is there a trick like breathing or something?
No, it's kind of a mind game.
Just the mind game.
Yeah, you just kind of stop. And as well, I'm a bit different because lately, or in last few years or 2 years or this year, maybe I don't do so many tries, you know. So if I fall, I stop, I think why I fell. I try to calm myself down and try to get back the energy I need for the next try. So I really don't spend many tries in these 5 minutes, and those tries that I spend there, I try them to be very efficient.
Yeah. You seem so cool with everything, like, oh, I achieved so much, I'm so happy with my job. Are there any goals that you have now, like, I don't know, what are your climbing goals?
There is just one climbing goal.
Yeah.
I want to stay in climbing until I die.
Okay.
No matter when I die, I don't care, like, because so far I had so much fun that I really just want to keep this spirit and passion about climbing. No matter how hard I will climb, I just want to stay there, and that's my only goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And second thing I'm wondering is, the qualification is still going on while we're talking here. Does that somehow make you nervous because you want to see how the others compete and you have to sit here with me?
Actually, at the moment I'm pretty calm because now I see that I kind of perform pretty well.
Yeah.
If it was a bit different, then I would be maybe a bit more nervous. That's honestly a bit more tiring than the climbing itself, you know, when you have to wait for so many athletes to finish. It's always hard because, you know, it's not just few of us who are really good in climbing. There are like many athletes who can come from behind and perform really well. And that's why usually it's really hard to wait until the end. But yeah, maybe today I'm a bit more relaxed because when we left the wall, I was on the second place in my group, which is quite promising. But you know, never say never, so let's just wait until the end.
But I guess you will make it to the semifinals.
Let's hope so.
Let's talk a little bit about the outside climbing. We know now that you like it very much. And what is also interesting is that you make up new routes in Slovenia. That's something I guess not every boulder or climber is doing. What do you like about that? How do you feel about that?
Maybe not so many routes in Slovenia. Also, like, at the moment, like, my main goal is to bolt in Croatia, where I keep going back for the new year. But still, like, as well, there are some really nice routes I opened up, but just because of like a lot of rocks are already bolted around Slovenia, so it's like hard to find new lines. But luckily, like, climbers before me, they didn't have such a great vision for really hard routes, and I was happy to make a route for myself, you know. I want to spend even more time outdoors. I want to spend even more time outdoors to learn some things that I haven't learned yet, like opening up new routes in the mountains. That would be like a really nice thing to do. Even though I already opened up a new one, unfortunately, with a bad accident with my friend. But at least we got to the top of the first wall. But yeah, anyway, I would be happy to learn more about those things, especially about mountaineering or alpine climbing. But yeah, I think I'll keep focused a bit in some trainings until the Olympics, and afterwards I'll start learning new things in mountains and stuff.
Ah, cool. So it's Olympia first and then comes
yes, and then comes other things in climbing.
I was wondering if it feels like you're creating a piece of art that will stay in the history of climbing when you create a route. Is that something like that, like I imagine?
Yeah, I hope someday there will be climbers, especially around my hometown, that would be happy to repeat my routes. At the moment, I'm kind of sad that people, or at least strong guys or young kids, they're all moving indoors and they don't find much time, even though they're like maybe even stronger than I am or than I was when I was their age. It feels a bit sad that they don't use this knowledge and strength to repeat like hard routes outdoors. I hope someday there will be some guys who would be as excited as I was when I was climbing around there. I know that not all the lines are super nice, but you know, at least they are hard, and I hope there will be a guy who would be, or not just one, the more of them there will be, the more happy I will be. But to go there and to say, you know, oh, I want to repeat this route, because not because it's nice, but because it was first ascended by me, you know, that would mean a lot to me. But yeah, at least I enjoy climbing so much, so I don't bother with this too much. But yeah, would be nice that people would go there and try it.
Yeah, I bet they will.
Yeah, I don't know, some things I opened up many years ago, so I wasn't really strong back then. But yeah, I was happy when, for example, Domen Škofic, really strong climber from Slovenia, came around and repeated some of my routes. Uh-huh. I was like really happy about that. But I really hope for younger generation to find the same passion that I found on the same cracks, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What would you say was the outdoor adventure that you liked the most, that you will always remember?
Actually, there are so many nice adventures I had that honestly, I forgot some of them.
Oh.
And they were like super good. But I can remember the fresh memories, you know, from not a long time ago. One of the biggest experiences was climbing El Cap last year.
Yeah.
Together with a really good friend of mine. I remember being there, being super nervous, and not many things went well. On the other hand, everything went perfect, because nothing happened, nothing bad happened. When I was there, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing it again, never. Uh-huh. And when I came back, I was already checking the guidebook, what would be the next thing to do there. So for sure, El Cap was one of the really good experiences. And of course, there are some routes that I was opening up in Slovenia that I didn't just spend like a few tries, but I actually spent months or years of working on them. And but I think it's easier to remember like multi-pitch routes, because they last for a bit longer, and there are more things that happen on the big wall. So I also remember time spending with Gregor, with my teammate in Switzerland, in Titlis Nordwand, where we repeated one of the really hard routes there, an 8B plus. We had a lot of fun, and I think it's a bit easier to find like nice stories in big walls.
Yeah, true. Well, I couldn't imagine that standing in front of El Cap is just amazing. I've never been there.
Yeah, honestly, I don't like crack climbing too much. Uh-huh. So there is a lot of crack climbing on El Cap, but I call it just necessary evil, because my main goal was to climb on El Cap at least once to see how it feels like climbing on 1,000 meters, and, you know, to feel the exposure or all the air below you, you know.
Yeah.
So I achieved what I actually wished for, so it was a really nice experience.
Do you know fear?
Oh, of course I do. Like, sometimes I felt like I don't feel fear. Like, I always felt comfortable on high balls or spaced bolted routes, you know, it was all good. But since I'm doing some alpine climbing on pitons and on tread gear, you know, now it's a bit different story. Also, climbing in Slovenian Alps, it's a bit difficult, because the rock, it's often very chossy. Usually I try to avoid this kind of climbing, but for sure it gives you a lot of experience as well. So yeah, I feel fear for sure.
Yeah, well, I did not think that you don't. But maybe, yeah, you have another way to handle it. I want to talk about Slovenia and climbing in Slovenia in general, because me and my climbing, my bouldering friends, we were always fascinated to see how many good climbers you have. And do you have any clue why that is so?
This is like a really often question I get, and usually my answer is maybe I'm not really one of them. I'm Slovene. I come from Slovenia, so I consider myself a Slovenian. But you know, as you heard, I'm a bit different. So I train differently. My mindset, it's completely different than the others. But yeah, I know these guys pretty well, and I know how much they train for. I know what they do for it. I give also all the respect to them, because they're really hardworking guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think being hard worker, it also pays off.
Yes, of course. The climbing in Germany is organized in the DAV, in the German Alpine Club. So I think it's very well organized here. Maybe that's like that too in Slovenia, so that there's a good organization that drives the people to be better, or what is it like?
Yeah, also maybe the mentality could be the same, or could be also the reason that people are pretty strong. So first of all, it's if you're young, it's not hard to start climbing, you know. You have clubs everywhere, you have walls. Maybe they're not the best, but you have walls, you know. So you can get introduced to climbing pretty fast. And maybe that's one of the good reasons that I can be grateful as well. Because back then, it was hard to start climbing around the world. But luckily, Slovenia had really good good conditions for... Maybe not for climbing, but for mountaineering. And also in our local club, I guess they used the wall for like alpine reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, soon there was like a sport climbing club as well. And so we used this advantage to start climbing. The other stuff you should ask them, like Janja, Domen, Gregor. We are good friends, but we also have different mindsets, and maybe we kind of found ourselves the good preparations, or we know what to do to perform the best. And yeah, I think that's the same with other nations or other climbers.
Well, but you have to admit that you are really, really good. It's awesome.
Good in competing, yes.
In Germany, unfortunately, climbing is not like a major sport. Germans like football very much.
I think it's the same in every country.
Yes, I know, but I just thought maybe climbing and the climbing audience might also be bigger in Slovenia. Like, there more people watching you?
You know, still there are just 2 million people in Slovenia, so it's hard to get the audience, you know.
Okay.
And the other good or bad thing is that we have many good athletes in Slovenia, not just climbers, also like skiers, basketball players, millions of like sports that are like, or athletes in some sports that are super, super strong. And it's also hard for the media to keep up with all the results, you know, that Slovenians make. And but yeah, we're growing, especially because of the Olympics. Also thanks to Janja, who is like doing well in all the disciplines.
Yeah.
And maybe also me and Domen and Gregor, that we're making some podiums, and that's for sure good for media and as well for audience.
Mm-hmm. Looking at Olympia, because you just said it, how do you see yourself there?
It's hard to say now, but yeah, for sure it's my wish. I want to go there. I want to see what's going on there, because it's the Olympics, you know. But I don't know, if you ask me, it's the main thing in competition climbing, it's still World Championship or World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
So it will never be the same, but on the other hand, it's Olympics, you know. You get more media attention, which is very good for sponsors and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is one of the main reasons I wanna go there.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I don't know, I was pretty good in speed when I was young, so not saying that I'm good now, but... Maybe I'm not really bad at it and I can improve in this style of climbing. If I keep the same mind, hopefully I'll do well in bouldering as well. But yeah, maybe one of the hardest things to train on is lead. But at least I enjoy it, and when I go outdoors, I mostly do sport climbing. So I hope this combination will be good enough to make it to the Olympics next year, in 2 years.
Yeah. Is it easy for you to live from climbing?
Yeah, as I said, I have a really good support at home. So until this point, it was okay because my family helped me a lot. But also this season brought some changes. So now I moved to my own. So far it's working well, but it's a bit hard with the sponsors. So, you know, you can make some money out of the competitions, but still I kind of wait for Munich to finish, and hopefully I'll be able to find some sponsors, because I really want to stay in climbing, and I hope that sponsors will find this passion in me, and that they will be ready to help me on, you know, my climbing career. Also, after when I finish with the competitions, I really want to climb outdoors. And so far, it's been hard, but hopefully it's gonna change. And I'll keep on climbing and trying. If I don't get sponsors, I'll just try to stay in climbing, doing some route setting, which so far works for me as well. And we will see what the future brings. But yeah, I'm not bothering with it too much.
Okay. Well, I know now that you are, Yannick Rude is climbing, but what else are you when you're not climbing?
It's climbing all the time. Oh. It's hard to say. I have some hobbies, but
not
honestly, it's really, really hard to find time for hobbies nowadays. I want to spend all my time in climbing, you know, and if I have a rest day, or if I don't climb, I actually climb, or I climb on easy stuff, or I'm establishing new routes or whatever. And as well, as I said, I have a really nice family, so I spend a lot of time with them. And yeah, it's really hard to say like another word than climbing about myself.
Okay, then don't say anything else.
Okay, it's climbing.
Okay. Good, Yanni. It was so nice talking to you.
Same.
I know you will be in the semifinals. I wish you all the best there.
Okay, if I'm the semis, then thank you.
Good, and yeah, what else is there to say? Nothing. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
So, this was my interview with Yanni Kruder. Thank you again to Yanni. And as I said, if you haven't seen him in a World Cup yet, you should really catch up on that. And I would say that the World Cup in Meiringen would be a perfect start to do so. I will put the YouTube link into the show notes, as well as the link to the finals in Munich, where Yannick Ruder became the overall World Cup champion 2018. And if you want to see Yannick climb outdoors, that is very easy to do. Just take a look at his Instagram page. It is full of outdoor climbing videos. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and I thank you for listening. In my next episode, you will hear my interview with Stasha Geo. She's one of my favorite female boulderers, and I was super happy to meet her, and I can't wait to publish this episode too, and that will be in about 2 weeks. And by the way, I will be in Fontainebleau at that time, and there I will also record some interesting new stuff for you. So now it is time to say goodbye with my famous last German words. Juliane mein Name und ich bin weg bouldern.